Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Radio Law Talk. Hour number three is upon us. And I'll tell you, we've been cooking with gas here. The first 2 hours have blown by. We've had this ongoing theme, and if you're just picking us up here, feel free to chime in. Ongoing theme here about the question of the day has been artificial intelligence, and I just got a message. By artificial intelligence, does that mean that that you were blonde and had your hair dyed black?
Hey.
No, that's not what we're talking about here.
Boys are weird.
So artificial intelligence, can AI, artificial intelligence, do you think that it could replace, even if it got more perfected and refined, could it replace a judge and a jury? And or a jury, the trier of fact, the body that is responsible for saying, okay, we've heard all the evidence and we find for the plaintiff or the defendant or guilty, not guilty, or a judge who has to make a determination whether or not evidence should be suppressed based upon the actions of law enforcement or what have you. Is that something that ultimately could be left to AI? Would you be comfortable with that as opposed to, would you be comfortable with AI, a robot, a programmed or a entity, a non-human entity, making a determination to a moral certainty that you as a defendant were guilty beyond a reasonable doubt? Or, that's tough.
Tell me one case you've tried, Todd, where you think to yourself, you know what, AI would be fine if they made the determination on this case. Have any come to mind? Because that's a tough one to me. Obviously, the human factor is in every case that you've tried in court now. And would AI reflect that human factor? And as we said before, in the Amber Heard matter with Johnny Depp, would AI reflect their plain visceral dislike for Amber Heard?
So I had a case way back in the day.
Okay.
Prosecuting a case. It was a DUI case. And the question here was whether or not the defendant drove his vehicle while he was intoxicated, all right? And in that case, the issue here was his car. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, old country road. The car stopped in the middle of the road on the side of the road. Caller calls in and sees a door open, a guy sitting there, calls CHP, and it takes a while for CHP to respond, maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And CHP got there. When CHP got there, they find the guy. He's clearly intoxicated, right? And his blood alcohol was well over 0.25, so he had been intoxicated for some time. And there was no alcohol in and around the car, so you know wherever he did his drinking to get drunk, it happened before he got to that location. Right.
So obviously the vehicle got there somehow.
So but the question was, you know, but how intoxicated was he? I mean, did he pound a bunch of alcohol before he got there? What was, and I agree that the people have to prove this, the prosecution has to prove this. What was the blood alcohol level at the time of driving? Not at the time the officer saw him, which was maybe 45 minutes, an hour after driving. What was it at the time of driving? Now, in this case, The interesting thing, and this came up in trial, like at the very end, it was when the caller called law enforcement, the location of the vehicle was about a half mile down the road from where the officer found the vehicle when he got there. So sometime after the call and before the officer got there in that 45 minutes, The guy started his vehicle, drove about a half mile down the road, and then stopped it again. And so when the we were able to use that to prove, okay, this happened in this period.
Right.
Ergo, therefore, you know, he was driving while he was impaired. I'd be comfortable with AI making that determination because you could decide.
But couldn't the guy say, well, you know, my girlfriend came and moved it for me, and then I said stop and go home. And I mean, there could have been all kinds of scenarios under which the
3 o'clock in the morning in a rural road with no other houses or anything like that, where was the person? If that evidence had been produced, that would have been interesting, but there was no evidence produced of that.
Got it.
So it was just what we had, and they made the determination.
So he was convicted, I take it?
He was.
Okay.
He was convicted.
So now, about these cases where people just don't like one party or the other, like the Amber Heard and the Murdaugh case, AI, would they be overmatched when there is an emotional component or a like or dislike component to a case?
Well, here's an interesting thing on that. So take the Amber Heard Johnny Depp case. We're talking about cases where there is clearly an emotional component to it, even though the jury's not supposed to use emotion to make any determination. Well, the real emotional component in the Amber Heard case was the one brought by the plaintiff. It was Amber Heard's side was the one really trying to pour on the emotions and crying on the witness stand and everything that was going on, and apparently that had no play with the jury. So the jury was able to weed through that. I don't know that AI would have been much different. But in that case, there was just as much critiquing and scrutiny and speculation about how the jurors were perceiving the lawyers in the case as there was the evidence. And I guess in a situation like that, that would be where AI might be better able to just focus on the focus as what was it? Who's the guy from Dragnet? Joe Friday would say
just the facts,
just the facts, man.
But I think the core issue seems to be to me that many times courts wish that jurors were dispassionate, simply could not key into any of the emotional stuff. Give me just the facts, ma'am. I'll make a determination on whether the coin landed on heads or tails. That's it.
Well, we know that's the case because the jury instructions specifically say that. Don't let your determination be influenced, not based on, but even influenced.
But you're human. How can you not?
Yeah.
That's the point, right?
That's true. That's true. But then you look at the Murdaugh case, right? And I think that clearly there was a lot of emotions on the part of the jury that were, this is the part where, you know, we'll talk about Lori Vallow here this hour, but when this happened, it was done for me. And if my concern has always been in the Murdaugh case that the jury at some point in time of the trial, anytime a juror says, well, once I heard this piece of evidence, I knew he was guilty. Well, okay, the case hadn't been given to you yet, and so did you not listen to the rest of the evidence? And then you got a case that went on for, 3-4 weeks? The jury makes a determination in 3 hours. They go from a 9-1-2 split, 9 for guilty, 2 for not guilty, 1 on the fence, to all 12 guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in 3 hours. Really, you guys reviewed all of that evidence in 3 hours.
It tells me that emotion played a major, a disconnect between Murdaugh and the jury played a major factor in this.
Oh, absolutely.
And something AI could not have handled.
I think that AI, in that case, would have, at least if I was the defense, I would feel like, well, at least I knew that the AI considered all of the evidence and didn't just base it on any one thing, right? When we come back, we'll do our case or no case, and then we'll get into Lori Vallow a little bit. Interesting statements made by some folks there.
Fascinating case.
Yeah.
Wow, Todd. I don't know how, as a prosecutor, you can stand it. As a prosecutor, you must be going, man, I want to know. Tell me more.
Right? Yeah.
We'll be back on Radio Law Talk right here on many great local radio stations coast to coast, and we thank all of them. And also on RadioLawTalk.com and streaming on Spotify and every major podcast service. You can hear us there. We'll be back.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
The commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your case.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
All right. So, Cal.
Yes, sir.
In case or no case, yeah. You and I are tied for the day.
Uh-oh.
You skunked me on the first hour.
But you got me on the second one.
And then the second hour.
Badly. You got
so,
me.
So it was, we are both at 6 because it's triple points Saturday.
Yeah, because we're by ourselves.
And go ahead. All right, this is the tiebreaker for you
here
and me.
There we go. I can feel the tension.
Play case or no case.
Yeah. Carl Eschenbach was a man with a streak of larceny and a taste for the high life. Back in the day when airline passengers could exchange tickets hassle-free, 1963, Carl bought a first-class ticket with cash to London. Very expensive. He would then go into the first-class passenger lounge and eat a lavish meal reserved for the first-class passengers about to embark on a long flight at no charge. Then he would go out and change the date for the ticket, and did this once a month, getting a very nice and expensive meal free once a month. Everything was going well until he decided to cash back in the ticket a year later and cancel the flight. An alert airline employee finally recognized Mr. Eschenbach, called the airline security people. Of course, in those days, they were all back in the office. And finally, someone looked into what Mr. Eschenbach was doing, and the legal department sent a letter to him demanding $26 for 13 meals, $338, or about $3,000 now. The number he had scammed the airline out of. He refused, and the airline sent the legal team out and said, I know this isn't much money, but there's a principal involved here. So we need to call legal and see if we have a case or no case. And what say you, Mr. Kunin, case or no case?
Well, let's see here. Is he getting something that other people pay for and he didn't pay for it? I would say, clearly, I think the answer is yes.
I would say he's getting a meal. But,
he is getting his meals,
yeah,
and you know, it is what they pay for. I guess the question here is whether or not they would spend their time for that. And, you know, here's what I'm going to say. I think this is absolutely a true scenario. Somebody who found a loophole, found some way to scam, but I don't think it ever materialized to a case. I think what ended up happening is the airline just said, yeah, okay, you're suspended from flying with us. And it was an internal thing. They reserved the right to refuse service to anybody, and you will no longer fly with us because of this. But it never went to the stage of somebody actually filing a grievance, a case where lawyers had to get involved and a judge, somebody had to make a decision whether it resulted in settlement or not.
They sent him a letter that said, don't you ever step foot on this airline again. Scenario, no case. Congratulations, Todd Kunin. Yes, there you go.
All right. Okay, so.
But it was a clever idea, pretty nice little gambit, you know, for a while.
Sure, a clever idea.
And he got a nice meal out of it 13 times. Very nice.
So we've been talking about the AI, right,
yeah,
in the context of...
AI could have figured that out, by the way.
It could have.
Repeat.
Yes, yeah. Fraud.
Right.
Yeah, you must... the adjudicator, you know, like the Terminator. Right. I must break you. Oh, sorry. You know, I did Terminator, and I just quoted Ivan Draco from Rocky. What am I doing? I'm mixing up my... well, that's...
that's rough, son.
That's rough, son. That's rough. Number of my feathers. So we've talked about AI in the context of trials and things like that. Let's talk about things in the context of appellate.
Okay.
Appellate issues and what might be coming up. Now, the state of Utah has passed a law to, their reasoning is to protect their young children. It's the Anti-Pornography Act, and it went in effect this week.
Yep.
Where purveyors, websites that have adult entertainment,
The name of which we will not mention, nonetheless.
But yeah. Well, there's no specific website. It's all of them. I mean, anybody that has a website that has what would be deemed to be pornography, adult entertainment, now has to have an age verification check system going in, where the user, every time they access the site, has to enter information to prove that they are 18 years of age or older to prevent this material from being displayed to minors, people under the age of 18.
So kind of like people in a convenience store buying beer where they say we card every time?
Yes.
That same principle, if you will.
Well, and that is, I guess, but that is what the law that went into effect in the state of Utah.
Right.
And in response to that, the law went into effect this week, and the lawsuit was also filed this week on behalf of those in the pornography industry, as well as others, claiming that this is an unlawful infringement on the First Amendment rights of the websites that have this. It's a form of speech. It's their communication, and this is an unlawful infringement on their rights. And now it's interesting that. The question here is going to be, what is the standard that a court would have to use in the underlying lawsuit if there's going to be, you know, obviously the porn industry is seeking an injunction to prevent the law from going into effect. And if it is deemed to be an encroachment on the First Amendment, what legal standard needs to be applied? What would the government have to show to justify this encroachment? And I had it here because the argument is that it imposes a content-based restriction on protected speech that, here's the standard, requires narrow tailoring to serve a compelling state interest. When we come back, we'll talk about that standard as it applies and then ask the question, what would AI do?
And boy, do I have a question for you about that. So
okay.
I hope I remember it. Hope my real intelligence, such as it is, can remember around the AI question. Would AI have to look at it and determine what pornography is?
Well, you know, interesting that you say that, because there was some Supreme Court justices. We saw this in law school where the standard was hard to define, but you know it when you see it. Yeah. Well, that's a tough one to leave to AI. Now, wouldn't it be?
I would say.
So when we come back, we'll talk about that.
Stay tuned. Radio Law Talk continues with Todd Kuhn, Todd the Great, as I will call him now, Todd the Kuhn, and we'll be back. Hang on.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
USA News Update. Wall Street ending a tumultuous week with a significant downturn. Stocks experiencing a notable drop amid renewed concerns about inflation and reports suggesting Israel's readiness for a retaliatory strike from Iran over the weekend. Donald Trump set to make history as the first former president to face trial in a criminal case. Jury selection for Trump's alleged hush money case taking place in New York City on Monday. The U.S. Embassy in Israel cautioning Americans in the country about security risks. A security alert has been issued limiting travel for government employees and their families. The House passing a bill to reauthorize Section 702 of FISA, permitting intelligence agencies to surveil foreigners abroad. Corey Myers, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Ever. I'm mean at this time.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So is it obscene? Is it pornography? Or is it protected by the First Amendment? That is the question that is going to be presented to courts in the state of Utah based upon the new law that went into effect requiring websites that show adult material and pornographic material, and whether or not and the new law that requires identification checks every time somebody accesses it. And this raises an issue. This is a case we studied in law school. I remember this one, Jacob Ellis versus Ohio, and it was 1964. And the case went, an individual was convicted for showing what was determined to be obscene material. It was a movie, a French film that was played, and it was deemed to be obscene. He was convicted of violating the law, and the case went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And Justice Potter Stewart, in what has become a rather famous opinion, the conviction was overturned. It was overturned because in the view of the Supreme Court, it was deemed that the movie was not obscene and pornographic, but the hard part was to define what is pornographic. I mean, to a certain extent, you could say, well, it's showing the private parts and things like that. But listen to what the judge said. This is Justice Potter Stewart, 1964. He said, I shall not today attempt further to define the kinds of material I understand to be embraced within that shorthand description, quote, hardcore pornography, close quote. And perhaps I could never succeed in intelligibly doing so. But I know it when I see it, and the motion picture involved in this case is not that. And there's the standard, the I know it when I see it standard.
Is this when the community standard was developed, the so-called community standard for pornography?
If it violates the prurient interests of the community and what have you. But, I mean, what a subjective standard, the I know it when I see it.
Right.
So boy, you're really rolling the dice here if something ends up being, the judge said I know it when I see it, and that's not it, right? Now, that is one of the challenges a law like this faces. The second is whether it's, because any time there is a First Amendment encroachment by the government, it is subject to the highest standard that the appellate courts can impose, which is strict scrutiny. They look at the restriction, and they look to see if it is narrowly tailored to satisfy some important legitimate governmental interest. Now, the state of Utah put forth a bunch of support for this law, which is the detrimental and negative effects that pornography has not only in general, but especially on children.
Right.
And look, as neutral as people want to stay, I absolutely agree with what the state of Utah has said about the negative effects and detrimental effects that it can have on children.
I have no problem with what they're trying to do. And do I have a problem with how? I don't know. Good question.
Well, and so then you look at it, and I'll just give you my armchair quarterback here.
Right,
but
right.
In my opinion, is the statute narrowly tailored to achieve a legitimate government interest? I think that there's absolutely a legitimate government interest. And I don't think that the impediment, the encroachment of requiring somebody to enter verifying information to verify that they're over the age of 18 is, I just...
too restrictive.
I don't think it's too restrictive.
I mean, if you get carded in a bar, if you go to California and you're bringing a Nevada legal gun into the state, we were just talking about this earlier, isn't this the same kind of a thing? The state says it's in our interest to keep the gun out, so we've defined the gun.
Yeah.
Here's the gun we want out. To me, it's the same kind of a deal.
And I think to a certain extent, probably largely... I mean, let's face it. It is a violation of federal law to show adult material to children.
Right.
So all the state of Utah is doing is saying it's a violation of our law here, and it's a violation of federal law, too. We're trying to enforce this. Now.
And they're not blocking production of the material,
no.
So the free speech can continue. They're just blocking consumption, just like California is not blocking the production of certain weapons. That can continue. They're just blocking consumption.
That's right. And they're blocking it. They're blocking consumption from a class, minors, that it's illegal for them to give it to. So the state could make the argument that by doing this, we are actually helping you to abide by the law so that there is none of this inadvertent, I'm using air quotes because... yeah, inadvertent display towards kids.
Yeah.
Right? And I guess some would argue that to a large extent that this is it's a symbolic law. The enforcement's going to be difficult. And one of the major purveyors of the site has blocked all access from the state of Utah to their site.
Works for me. Good.
Works for me.
Great.
I venture to say that everybody in the state of Utah that wants to access that site will still be able to do so because they use a VPN that makes the internet think that they're logging on from, you know, another state.
Yep. Or they can drive to Wendover, Nevada, if they want.
It's circumventable, but still, yeah. I think that it is a very small encroachment. We'll see how this plays out.
I don't see any great harm to the protected class here, Todd. I'm not trying to talk like a lawyer, but they're trying to protect children. I don't get any great harm to them because the state is offering this restriction.
And again, what they're looking at here is the argument in the lawsuit is that the aggrieved party in the lawsuit is the websites that put out this material.
Hmm.
And they're saying that our First Amendment rights as a website are being encroached by this. And I think they're not being completely prohibited.
It's only consumption.
They're being encroached upon in the sense that we're making sure that your content is not displayed to a group that is legally prohibited from seeing it.
Yep.
And so I it'll be an interesting way to see this play out. Now, how would AI deal with this?
I think AI would say, First Amendment, freedom of speech. The speech is continuing, so that's okay. The only people who have a problem would be people who cannot consume it. Are they being harmed? No. Okay, you lose. Porn purveyors, you lose. That's my guess.
I'm trying to be dispassionate. I would be curious to know how AI would deal with a standard.
Good point.
Of that's I know it when I see it.
Yeah, that's
right. See,
yeah.
That presents yet another. You're always going to need humans in the as pilots of fighter aircraft because they have to make decisions that sometimes. Here we go. Here's a classic example. I'm watching football.
Okay.
Right. I love this series, Amazon Web Services. This is the spot commercials that they run all the time during football.
Okay.
And there's some great play that some quarterback made, and you know, it says, look, AWS predicted the likelihood of success on this throw to this spot, given all this stuff, had, you know, an 8% chance of succeeding. And you'd think that no AI would ever throw that based upon those percentages.
Right.
And yet it did succeed, and that's why they won the game, and they did that. And that's because you got a human sitting in there willing to take the risk of failure. And I think that's where things go different. One is just a complete statistical analysis. The other is the willingness to take a risk of failure, but the success would be far greater. And that's why you need humans in cockpits of planes. It's why you need humans playing sports. And in my opinion, it's why you need judges and juries made up of people, not AI.
So. And it's why we need Todd Kuenin on Radio Law Talk.
Because
of this pithy analysis you just provided. That was good. That was good stuff.
That and 50 cents will get you a cup of coffee if you're getting a cup of coffee from a place that sells it for 50 cents, right?
Good luck on that, right?
So, look, when we come back, we're coming up on a break. Are we coming up? Yes, we are.
A little bit over a minute.
We got about a minute left. We come back. A couple of interesting things in the Lori Vallow case.
This case just fascinates me.
It does. This is one that I think AI would have no problem getting. And I think that anybody would go, yeah, AI got it right. Yeah, just some crazy stuff in the last week or two in Lori Vallow and evidence that was presented. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Last segment of Radio Law Talk coming up. Don't go away.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk with Todd Kuenin, and we'll be back. Don't go away.
You turned on Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk.
Listening to Radio Law Talk. Now this.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Can we stop now?
You're listening to Radio Law Talk. And now back to the show.
So, Lori Vallow facing murder charges. She's charged in connection with the death of her two children, as well as the wife of Chad Daybell, his former spouse, who died. Let's see, the two children and Mrs. Daybell died within weeks of each other, and that was within a few months of Lori Vallow's, I think at the time it was her fifth husband, had died as a result of being killed by her brother, Lori Vallow's brother. I mean, just we're talking a four or five month window, a lot of deaths. That, and then Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow got married in Hawaii, and how could that ever come back to bite us?
All's well that ends well.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it's not over.
But, you know, this show, we've been talking about AI, artificial intelligence, and whether or not it could replace judges or juries. And one of the issues that was brought up back in the first hour that we've been talking about, second and third hour here, is the role of emotions and passion in the trials. And, you know, it's interesting. Prosecutors try to get in evidence. They really want it. Talk about it in their office when judges aren't around. They're going to argue that it's evidentiary, Your Honor. We need it for the evidence, but they really want it for the emotion. They really want it for the emotional value. So let's go through evidence that has been presented in Lori Vallow's case, and see I'll give you my opinion. Cal, I'm curious your opinion. I'll have to tell you what I think, and then you can tell me what you think about whether or not, is this really evidentiary, or do they really want it for the emotional aspect of it? For example, the doomsday belief, the belief that evidence has been presented that Chad Daybell is a doomsday author and that Lori Vallow is a devout follower of his, and that they believed that they had divine missions, that they had been married in a pre-life, and that she had a divine mission in this life, and her brother was supposed to be her protector, and people either had a light spirit in them or a dark spirit, and if they had a dark spirit, they were referred to as zombies and stuff. So, on whole, do you think that is evidentiary? I mean, do they really want that for the evidentiary value? It's got some, or is it the emotional, these people are a bunch of wing nuts?
Well, I think establishing them as wing nuts makes the evidence they'll present later more credible. So I would say kind of yes and yes. They want the emotional backdrop, and then they say, and against this backdrop, here's what we say they did.
Yes, I see. I see it as, and I'll contrast this with another piece of evidence here in just a second. But I see this as really a play on the emotional, because you know what? If the jury thinks these people are absolutely whacked out, crazy, crazy people do things that are stupid, like killing people,
yep.
Killing kids.
Right? Yep. Can't be
and so,
sane and do that.
All right. So, what about this evidence from? Lori Vallow's friend, Melanie Gibb.
Oh, man, what a testimony. What testimony she's been giving.
So, Melanie Gibb, it was a recorded phone conversation. So, this is great. It's a recorded phone conversation between Melanie Gibb and Lori Vallow. And apparently, Lori Vallow had told police that her kids, that everybody said were missing, were with Melanie Gibb, which we absolutely know is not true. Now, is that more emotional or more evidential, would you think?
Evidentiary.
Absolutely evidentiary, because for this reason, why are you lying about the whereabouts with your kids and telling law enforcement they're with your friend when you know, regardless of whether they were dead at the time, you know they're not with her? Why are you lying about it?
Right.
Right?
And that anyone likes to catch a bad guy, a suspected bad guy in a lie, right?
That's right. That's right. So that is evidence that really weighs, in my mind, towards being evidential, not based on emotion.
I like this game.
Charles Vallow, her fifth husband that died, and it was shortly after that death that she moved to Idaho to be closer to Chad Daybell.
Right.
Charles Vallow, she told her friend that Charles Vallow was having an affair and that she needed a place to stay. This is prior to the move. And then said that she was, quote, done with JJ. JJ is her son, her adopted son. She was done with JJ, and that Charles and his sister would need to figure something out.
Evidentiary.
I would say that's pretty evidentiary.
Yeah.
Because she's done with JJ, which means if the jury believes that, it is...
Therefore, I'm going to kill him.
There's disregard for that. And the fact that Charles, her husband, she claiming that he had an affair... is one of those where why she would want out of the relationship, and she didn't care because JJ was his child, and JJ can stay with Charles.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
Here we go. An email or an inquiry to a property in Hawaii that would have been 3 days after the couple was married and before the kids were reported missing. An email sent to a property in Hawaii saying that they would, quote, be interested in leasing the property. Would you be interested in leasing the property to a clean couple with no pets or children?
Whoa. Evidentiary shows intent.
Absolutely evidentiary. She was looking for properties, and she knew there would be no kids in tow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Okay. The evidence from her surviving son, her older son, on a phone conversation where he's yelling at his mom, saying, "You've ripped my heart out. You've ripped everyone's heart out. JJ, why didn't you let him go be with somebody else? You lied to me." All of this, evidentiary or emotional?
Ripped out heart, evidentiary, but testimony, emotional.
Absolutely emotional. Because the thing is she didn't respond to that. Now, they're probably trying to say that she's cold and callous. The problem is, it's a jail phone call. And the defense is going to say, she knows that it's being recorded, and anything you say can be used against you. Of course, she's not going to say anything in response to that.
Yeah.
Now, there was another one So JJ's body was found. It was wrapped in duct tape.
Right.
And this was a big one that came
garbage
out.
Garbage bag
week.
And duct tape. Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And
terrible scene.
Her hair or hair was found attached to the duct tape that a DNA analyst came in. I like the way it was reported. I'm talking about the way it was reported and what was actually said. It was reported that the DNA analyst said, and this matches Lori Vallow's hair. Okay. Now, before we get into what the testimony actually was, is that evidentiary emotional?
Evidence.
Evidentiary. And even one person is saying, that's the smoking gun evidence. That says she did it. And there are a lot of people saying the fact that her hair was found
DNA
in duct tape
don't lie.
On
DNA
him, don't it was. Lie. And to me, that's probably the weakest piece of evidence that they have to tie her to that.
Really? Why is that?
She was his mother. You ever pull out a pair of clothes that's yours and you find hair from your wife or somebody that you live with is there? She was his mother.
But duct tape.
It is not uncommon. And if duct tape, he's found in his pajamas, if duct tape is wrapped around somebody in their pajamas and the hair was attached to the pajamas, that's why it's going to be on the duct tape.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, so they reported it as the expert said that it matched Lori Vallow. And that is not the way DNA experts testify.
So maybe it wasn't an expert?
Is no, that no. The way DNA experts testify and the way this expert testified is this, quote, said the probability of randomly selecting a random individual in relation to that profile is 1 in 71 billion. A DNA expert will never come in and say this matches that. What they will say is if you randomly selected DNA from people, the probability that you would come up with these markers is 1 in such and such billion.
Right.
Let the attorneys argue that it matches them.
Well, so does that mean that the prosecutors did not properly instruct this person how to testify?
No,
maybe
no.
They weren't experienced.
No. So what I'm saying is the person testified the way they were supposed to testify. It's just that the people reporting it reported it as if the witness had said, yes, this matches that person.
Yeah.
That, and I guarantee you the experts going, that's not what I said. They make this big deal about it. It's like, look, the prosecution is going to make that argument.
Yeah.
But where did 3 hours go, Cal?
I don't know, but you know what I like about this part of the last hour?
What's that?
I get to hear your quick take on whatever we have discussed on the show today, whatever item you choose as one you want to make sure people remember.
Well, here we go.
All right, here we go.
Artificial intelligence. After discussing it for 3 hours, I would not want to have any case decided by AI as a judge or a jury. Give me people. I just wouldn't want to have it happen.
And mine is artificial intelligence. May I have some, please? That's all. All I want.
artificial courage? Yes, I'm pouring a drink. No, stop. Okay. Well, thanks, folks, for joining us on Radio Law Talk. We'll be back next Saturday for another exciting 3 hours talking about the news of the week and what we think is there. See you then.
It's been an honor, Todd. Thank you so much. And thanks, folks, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem. Pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Hey,
extend your life with Extendover.